Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature, or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter, nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I am a CPA, CFP, and AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com, and you can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org. You can stream live with us or listen to podcasts of prior shows on either of those websites. Today is Wednesday, May 30th, 2018. The markets were up today. The Dow closing at 24,667, the NASDAQ at 74,62, and the S&P at 27,24. Our topic tonight is life's big events and how to plan and budget for them. Just some kind of conversation around that and what that feels like and what do you need to think about. We are live tonight. We will take your questions. Lori C. is in the studio with us this evening. We'll answer your calls, take your information, and we ask you to mute your radio so you can hear me without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We do discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments, and while I typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic, and I will do my best to answer them. The number is 610-758-8810. That is 610-758-8810. Email is also available at yourfinancialchoices.com. So talking about planning for life's big events and how to plan and budget for them. More kind of a conversation tonight is what I would say this is. And I was thinking, what should I have as a topic for my show? I was thinking about this a week or so ago, and I was thinking about summer, Memorial Day, people getting together. And then when I was thinking of summer, I thought of vacations, I thought of weddings, then I thought about the kids getting ready for college. And all of a sudden, I realized everything I was thinking about were sometimes big ticket items. And then that gave me the idea for the show, planning for those big events. And it's not just things like weddings and education and vacations. It's also big items like buying a home, buying a car, saving for retirement. I do shows frequently on retirement, so that would probably be, you know, kind of captured in some of those other shows we talk about. So I thought tonight I'll try to focus a little bit on some of these big items. And then give you some strategies to think them through and considerations as you're going through it. So talk a little bit about maybe ways to pay for these big ticket items, some considerations in paying for them and how to pay for them. But let's start with really kind of trying to proactively think about them. Because I think what happens quite often, more than you'd realize, as a financial advisor, I'll get a call that says, "Hey, Lori, I'm thinking about retiring next year. Do you think I can?" Or, "Hey, Lori, my child is going to college this fall. How are we going to pay for it?" So quite often, I think people are thinking about it a little bit late, a little late to the game. It doesn't mean that there still aren't options for you and ways to be smart about what you're doing or paying for these big items. But obviously, the sooner you start planning and thinking about it, the better you'll be, the better shape you'll be in, the better prepared you'll be in. And as regular listeners know, I always end the show saying be proactive, not reactive. So number one on the list is to be proactive in your planning. Why is it so hard? Well, one of the reasons I think it's hard is because quite often someone might say to you, what are your goals? That's how you might have people starting conversations with you. What do you want to do? When do you want to retire? So you might say, well, my goal is to retire at 65. Yeah, that's my goal. Well, that's not defining anything enough. And it's also not describing the path that you're taking to that end goal of retirement. And what is that path? That path involves getting married, buying a house, maybe buying a house, having children. So many different items off the menu of life that you could be picking that will impact that end goal. But if you only think about what's posed to you, what is your goal? We're more linear. We only think of maybe that one big thing. So step one in this process is, instead of just thinking about what is the goal, retiring at a particular age, in lieu of that, let's start talking about something that is described in a booklet we use when we're doing financial planning for clients, which is called a lifestyle workbook. We're talking about more lifestyle kinds of goals, those goals you'll have before you retire. What might those goals be? So instead of saying, what are your goals? It's, hey, have you thought about travel? Are you a traveler? Do you like to travel? Yeah, I like to travel. Have you been able to travel? Well, no, you know, we don't really budget for that. Well, if this is a goal for you, then let's try to figure out how much you want for that special trip. And then you have that goal that you can work toward. It's a very different feeling than this abyss of, I want to retire when I'm 65. So let's break this down into more doable pieces, but consider what that means, lifestyle goals. So for example, the booklet goes over travel. Is it one special trip? Is it recurring trips? Is it overseas? Is it one person? Is it two? Is it the family? What is your goal with that? Did you want to plan a family trip? Maybe you have grown children now and you'd like to see the grandkids, so you want to bring the kids and the grandkids. College goal. Do you plan to pay for your child's college education if you have children, or perhaps your grandchildren? What is the college goal? But it even goes beyond that. Who are you paying it for? What are you paying? How much? A half? A quarter? You want to cover tuition? You want to cover room and board? Really defining these goals. New home. Do you want to downsize? Do you want to upgrade? Trade up on your home? Do you want a second home? Do you want that beach house? Breaking it down and then further defining. For example, maybe it's not really the beach house that you need. Maybe you just love that experience of being at the beach. So if that is a goal and you want to have more time at the beach, maybe the goal isn't buying a beach house. Maybe the goal is saving enough to have a month at the beach once you retire, where you rent a house for a month. Might be much more affordable than buying a beach house. Really taking the time to define these, what I'm going to call big ticket items. Weddings. Generally, you will hear people talking about saving for a child's wedding. Maybe they plan to spend $25,000 or $100,000. Very different numbers. Maybe $10,000. Maybe you're going to pay for part of it and your child has to figure out how to take care of the difference. You need the number. And you have to have kind of a timeline. So if you have not thought about this before and now your daughter or son is dating someone and it's looking pretty sure that they're probably going to get together and they might be looking to you to help finance a wedding, they could be getting married in 6 months. They could have an engagement of 3 years. So if you had not already been planning for that, what are you going to do? The other kind of lifestyle goals that the book addresses are things like private school, home improvement, providing care for someone, a major purchase like a boat, a motorhome, a hot tub, a swimming pool. Do you want to leave money to your heirs? It's a very different feel than saying, what are your goals? So when I say, what are your goals? You say, I want to retire at 65. This is very, very different. We're putting shape to these goals. We're putting shape to these big purchases or events that we want to support. What else do we have to think about? And that's what we're going to talk about when we come back from our first break. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Spread the word about your business or organization to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR News and locally produced programs reaches thousands of engaged listeners in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable and effective way to provide information about your product and services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, 610-694-8100, extension 6, or WDIY.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert, and you're listening to Your Financial Choices. We're talking about big events, planning for life's big events, and how to plan and budget for them. We did have a call come in from Easton, off air from Melanie, and she asked, she is recently divorced with a 7-year-old son. She has sole custody and living pretty much paycheck to paycheck. And she asked, should she have life insurance? Is it a priority? And what is it? Well, Melanie, it's a good question, and I think you're on the right road to consider it and think about it. The concern, of course, is that if you're paycheck to paycheck, you may not be able to afford the cost of life insurance. What life insurance is there for people is to provide some kind of need should the insured, the person who is providing the means of living for the family, should something happen to that person, how will the survivors get on if something happens to you? So if this is you, you're the have sole custody, and if your son is relying completely on you for obviously housing and living and all of that, if something were to happen to you, what would happen to him? So you might want to make sure that you have that risk of your passing prematurely covered through the use of life insurance if you don't have other assets to assure, you know, his care. Maybe you have a parent who would take custody of him. Maybe his father would take custody of him. Maybe at this point, if there was a family member who would be his guardian, should something happen to you, maybe they have the means to support him, and maybe the life insurance isn't so important. At the same time, that might be a way for you to give him options. So you'd have to look to see what you might be able to afford. If you work, sometimes employers will provide access to low-cost group term insurance through the employer. If you're full-time, sometimes they have that available. If you're part-time, it may or may not be available. So you could always ask HR if there's any group term life insurance available. And sometimes you can pay for that through payroll deduction. And if you're young, it might not cost as much as if you're older. Sometimes people will have things like AAA. You might not have AAA, or a professional organization that they may be attached to that would also provide some kind of group policy, which a group rate is lower. tend to be lower, and term insurance tends to be lower. The idea with a term is, let's pretend you have it for 20 years. That would get your son to 27, and, you know, he should be okay by then. So that might be something that would be cheaper, a shorter term, and depending on how much coverage you might want. Figuring out how much coverage you want would be, is there a mortgage? Is there car payments? How much would college education cost? So generally, there's a bit of a formula involved to kind of try to figure that out. If you don't have a mortgage, then you're not necessarily having to cover a mortgage payment, but you might want to make sure you have enough insurance to cover housing for him should something happen to you. So there would be somewhat of a calculation involved in that. But you have to also consider, what can you afford? So I think a group term policy might be the most affordable for you. You could always start with a small policy and then add to it as you have more means to do so. As far as, you know, your work, I see where it would be hard when you have a young child and you're on your own trying to make ends meet. Sometimes you want to look for, and I've done shows on this, where you try to work with maybe friends where you share housing, or, you know, share a house or share an apartment to kind of help manage some of the costs so that you're not having to be paycheck to paycheck. And it's also really, really important to maybe work at an employer that does provide some benefits. So build up your resume so that you've got a good resume, that you show that you're a good hard worker, and maybe could move into a position that is going to pay you more money. And maybe that would offer some kind of full-time employment where some of these benefits would be available to you. So life insurance is helping to cover the risk of the loss of earnings or assets that a provider is there to give. And look to see if you have other people around you in case something should happen to you. You want to make sure that you have a legal document saying who's going to be the guardian of your child if the father is not in the scene. Okay? Good question. I think it's really smart of you to be paying attention to these things, though, so you're on the right track. Thanks for calling, Melanie. I hope that helps a little bit. Folks, we're talking about big ticket items, life events, and planning for life's big events could be, you know, planning for raising this child, buying a home, and or providing for them should something happen. Legacy planning is one of those big events as well. So first, kind of identifying the different kinds of goals that you might have certainly helps you plan for the amount of money that you would have to save for them. So you want to look at ways to pay for these events. Might it be accumulation, meaning saving over time? You have an idea of what something might cost. You know the time horizon. So you know the dollar amount, you know the time horizon, and you know how much of periodic savings that you can do over X number of years, X number of months, and accumulate the money that you need for that particular goal. You might receive an inheritance. You might just fund some of these big events or life events through cash flow. At some point, you know, maybe you have a partner or spouse who comes into the scene and gets an extra job that you hadn't been planning on. That extra cash flow wasn't needed prior for your budget, and now it's kind of extra money. You can automatically sock that away if you know that you were living on one person's salary before and now there's this new money. That money could all be socked away or used for these events for cash flow. My brother recently retired, and his wife had been a stay-at-home mom, and he is getting a pension, which is great for him, but the pension obviously is a little bit lower than what his salary was. Well, she went and got a part-time job. Kids are gone, out of the house, has a part-time job working, and it's enough to give them some play money. So could be from cash flow that you're going to pay for some of these events. Borrowing. So as we go through the show here a little bit, I want to talk about some different options of borrowing if you're going to fund big events. Big events in particular, when we think about borrowing, we're thinking about home purchase, car purchases sometimes. So there might be certain life events that you can save for and that you can do kind of out of that cash flow. But some really big events, you may not have the means to take care of immediately. So that might require borrowing on your part. Shandi, we have a call. Can I take it and then we'll delay the break a little bit? Okay, we're going to line one. We have Sharma from Brynigsville. Hi, Sharma, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
How can I help you?
I have two sons. One is in ninth grade and one is in the sixth grade.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very late in starting or saving anything for the college.
Yep.
So how much should I contribute from now onwards?
Okay. Sharma, there is a website, if you have a pen and paper, called savingforcollege.com. Savingforcollege.com. And on that website, they have calculators. And that calculator will factor in how many, your child's age, what is your household income, what kind of school do you want them to attend? For example, in-state public university, which has a very different cost than a private institution, and how many years you're going to fund. And it will give you an idea based on the household income and the university cost of, it'll give you an idea of what the total cost is going to be and your chance for any scholarships and grants based on that household income. And then it'll tell you what is the projected amount. Again, very, very simple calculator, but give you kind of a projected college cost. And then it'll tell you what your monthly contribution should be. So, for example, in preparation for this show, I said someone with a child age one who makes $100,000 going to an in-state public university would end up having a total cost of college of about $262,000 in 2035. So, you know, think 18 years ahead, and they would get some scholarships, and to have enough saved to pay what would be their responsibility out of pocket, they would have to save $529 a month for 18 years. So that's a pretty big chunk of change. So when you're talking about a ninth grader and a sixth grader and being a little bit late to the party, get those kids studying, try to get scholarships. But you might have to do some of it out of cash flow. So go on savingforcollege.com to try that calculator and see what it looks like. You may not be able to cover it all. What you could still qualify for through financial aid, maybe your income's too high or assets are too high for financial aid, where it's kind of free financial aid, you still might qualify for loans. So you might want your child, either one of them, to participate a little bit in their college costs by, you know, taking some student loans out if you can't swing it all yourself. Okay.
Thank you very much.
All right. The other thing, Sharma, real quick, there's also something called a 529. So if you keep listening to the show, I'm going to talk about that in a little while as well. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a good night. Folks, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert, and you're listening to Your Financial Choices. We're talking about planning for life's big events and how to plan and budget for them. I want to close the loop a little bit. I'm going to jump ahead here a little bit to close the loop on this education, since Sharma just called to talk about how much to save. The savingforcollege.com website is a great website. Lots of information there, calculators. There's even a financial aid calculator to kind of give you an idea of what it might look like. But it also talks about a college saving investment vehicle called a 529 plan, a college savings 529 plan account. And on that website, you can compare the different 529 plan accounts. 529 comes from the Internal Revenue Code section that governs these plans. The idea is if you put money away into a college savings account and you invest and you let it grow, and then you take that money out for qualified education expenses, there will be no income tax on that growth and earnings. So when we're talking about planning for some big events, college costs are so high, but there's so many opportunities to be smart about saving for college in that they have these tax-favored vehicles called the 529. Another treat for Pennsylvanians is that you get a deduction on your Pennsylvania tax return, no more than $15,000 per student per donor. So a husband and wife could give $15,000 to one child. That would be a $30,000 deduction on your tax return to fund that 529 account to the extent that you also both have income of that much. So if one spouse doesn't work or doesn't have income, then you're not going to get that deduction. But if both of you are working and making at least $15,000 and you put $15,000 each into a plan for child A, that would be a $30,000 deduction. So there's a lot of great potential deduction on these 529 accounts. In that, we would save 3.07% automatically on Pennsylvania. And then we don't have the income tax on the growth and earnings on that 529 if used for qualified education expenses. And another win from the tax, the recent tax reform legislation, if you're looking for a win, is that you can use the 529 account now for private school at the elementary and secondary education levels as well, whereas in the past it was only for qualified education expenses toward college cost. Now you can use up to $10,000 for private schools, high school, elementary school as well. So, for example, I had a couple come in the other day funding 529s for the grandchildren, and their children are saying, you know, stop, we're doing too much. The kids are going to have too much money by the time they go to college because, you know, the other grandparents are putting money in too. Well, there might be too much money for college, but these children also are in private elementary and private high schools. They can use some of the money for that. And you can also change the beneficiaries on those accounts if one child doesn't need all the money for their college education. So, Sharma, you had called and talked about how to save. There's a way to save to the extent that you can save using these 529 accounts. The other caution might be that some people often have is, well, what if my child doesn't go to college? What if my child has scholarships? Well, if they don't have go to college, you can always name a different beneficiary on it, meaning your other child or another closely related party. They might not go to college right away. They might go to college, you know, 3 or 4 years after they've graduated from high school. So there's no reason you can't just kind of wait and hold on to that. If they have scholarships, that's what happens is if you don't use it for qualified education expenses, when you take it out, it would be income taxable then, just the earnings, not the whole amount, just the earnings would be income taxable. And there would be a 10% penalty if you use it for something other than education. But there are exceptions to that 10% penalty, one of them being, you know, scholarships and or military, disability, death. So there are some exceptions. But as I said, you can work around that sometimes by transferring it to another child. Some people are nervous about funding the 529s too much. And so when we're planning for life's big events, we also want to build in some flexibility and some options. So maybe you're not comfortable putting all of the funding into a 529. Well, then you can always set up a separate account and earmark that for education. But in this way, maybe if they don't use it all for education, in the 529, you have this other account that you could still use if needed, or maybe if you have something that comes up, that separate account could just be a joint account between you and your spouse, or just your account, or it could be an individual account with your child name as transfer on death or something like that. You could have a separate account set aside, kind of earmarked for that education, but it gives you a little bit of flexibility and options as to using it for other purposes if you get a little bit too nervous about setting aside all the money just for education. You know, what if you have a roof that has to get repaired and you put all the money in the education account? That might, you know, cause you stress and anxiety. Well, just kind of set aside some of the education money in another account. No one has to know it's for education. It's just kind of in your memory there. So we're going to talk about other ways to pay for some of these big events when we come back from this halfway point. Love the calls and appreciate them. If you have questions, we're live on air or off air, whatever you're more comfortable doing. 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
This is WDIY. It's 6:30. Your current temperature is 74. Tonight, it's going to get low around 63. On Thursday, it's going to be high near 75. Friday is going to be mostly cloudy with a high near 84. Friday night, you're going to have some chance of thunderstorms and rain, and it's going to get low around 69. Saturday, mostly cloudy again with a high near 76. Saturday night, a chance of showers and low around 60. And Sunday, higher near 68. More from your Financial Choices with Lori Siebert.
Thank you, Shandi. Welcome back, folks. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. I'm going to go back to the education thing for a moment because, you know, I've raised three children and we've had all very different college experiences. My first daughter, private school, but got a huge academic scholarship, which was great, brought the tuition down to something more comparable with kind of your Penn State, Pitt type of cost. My second daughter had a full ride athletic scholarship, which was awesome. Never wrote a check for her. It was really, really phenomenal playing volleyball. And my son had kind of a mixed experience. He went to Temple his first year, which the cost was pretty much about the same as my daughter at the private school with her academic scholarship. Because typically what I see is the private schools try to bring down the cost to something more in line that you would have with these kind of state schools. My son transferred then to Kutztown, and that was his sophomore year, and he was living on campus, and the cost came down certainly from the cost of Pitt, but we still had room and board. And then his third year, he's living at home and going to Kutztown. He's still loving his experience. He's liking his classes. It was all his choice. So he's had a number of experiences. But I'm telling you, the cost of the education has gone down, down, down. And he's still having a good experience. So sometimes it's what your children make of it. And there's nothing wrong with going to an affordable school. And quite often what I find is the kids really, really are exploring that first year and trying to figure out what they're doing and kind of trying to figure out who they are. And so if you can have that at maybe a kind of a lower cost state school, nothing wrong with that. And that is how you can kind of watch the cost. I told my son there's nothing wrong with transferring. I myself transferred from a very, very expensive private school to a big university and for various reasons. So flexibility is also important to keep in mind. And you can control some of your costs that way too. So let's talk about ways to pay. So I mentioned accumulation. You know, over time, you have a timeline. So what you want to make sure you're thinking about is how long do I have to save? So Sharma, great that you're thinking about this now because for your sixth grader, you still have a lot more years. So your timeline, the amount that you need to save or want to save. So in the case of education and even weddings and things like that, how much do you want to pay for? Do you want to pay 100%? Do you want to commit to paying half or 25%, whatever it might be. You have the amount that you want to cover, the timeline you want to cover, and how are you going to accumulate the money you need? Are you going to do it in cash in a bank account where the money's not working for you? What is the timeline? If it's for next year, that might be the safest place for you. If it's 18 years, if you've just had a baby and you want to save for college, you've got the power of compounding. You have the power of time and accumulation. So what and how are you going to invest this money? Are you going to put it in the bank, put it in a CD, put it in bonds, put it in equities, put it in mutual funds? However you're going to invest it, you get to hopefully see a return. And with that, over time, the power of compounding, that'll help you reach that goal maybe a little bit faster. And again, if you're doing it out of cash flow, then that's completely different. You might want to say to yourself, how do I come up with that extra cash flow? Am I going to take on a part-time job, an extra job? Is my spouse going to work? Maybe get the kids to work and let those kids start accumulate some of the money. All right, so those are some of the considerations. I want to talk about the difference between a mortgage, a home equity loan, a home equity line of credit, and something that a lot of people probably don't think about, which is family loans. Oh, you might think, oh, those are like horrible. Stay away from family loans. But I'm going to talk about it because it really is a great option for a lot of families. So I'll talk about that in a minute. In the meantime, we had a call come in from John in Forks Township. He said he moved to Pennsylvania 3 years ago. He has 529s in Pennsylvania for his kids, but his kids are going to school in other states. Would there be more benefit if the kids were going to school in Pennsylvania since it's a Pennsylvania 529? John, this is a good question because it brought up something that probably isn't discussed that often. And there are a couple different kinds of 529s. And frankly, I'm not even sure how to describe them. But there is a 529 that it could be direct with the state, whatever state someone might live in, where it's more of like a guarantee that you're buying for. You're paying into a guarantee amount toward tuition. And that is kind of with the particular state. Then there are the, I think, let's call it a state-sponsored 529, where Pennsylvania, and I don't even know who's Pennsylvania's with, but I know Virginia has American funds. It's called College America, and it is the Virginia plan is with American Funds College America. I can't remember who Pennsylvania's with. They have Nevada, Ohio. Some of them are with Vanguard. Some of them are Tia Cref. So all these different fund companies have teamed up with various states and have a state, I'll call it state-sponsored 529 plan. But Pennsylvania doesn't care where your 529 is. So just because you live in Pennsylvania does not mean that you have to have the 529 Pennsylvania sponsored plan. So as a Pennsylvania resident, I could have the Virginia plan, the Tennessee or the Nevada plan, the Ohio plan. Now, if you had this guaranteed amount, here we go. Lori C., just look this up. Pennsylvania 529 College Savings Program offers two savings plans. The PA 529 Guaranteed Savings Plan is a lower risk plan that helps you savings keep pace with the rising higher education tuition. That's where you pay in so much, and then they guarantee based on how much you paid in that would go toward tuition. The PA 529 Investment Plan lets you choose from 60 investment options, and that's Vanguard. Thanks a lot, Lori. That helps. So, John, you might have one or the other of those. So if you have the Vanguard, then regardless, you're in a 529 plan. The investment plan one allows you to, if you are invested and it earns more than the guaranteed amount, you know, you could earn more. And then you have extra money toward education. Whereas the guaranteed plan just says it guarantees this X amount of dollars, you see? So it's taking the risk off for you, but you may not make as much money on it. So you asked if your kids go to school in other states, that should not matter. In the old days, the guaranteed plans were like particular to that state, but I think all of the states did get more flexible with that and kind of offer some kind of exchange. But with the regular investment plans like the PA 529 with Vanguard, that you can use anywhere in the country. So would there be more benefit if kids were going to school in Pennsylvania? For the guaranteed plan, there probably would be, but for the regular investment plan, no, you can go anywhere. Pennsylvania gives us a deduction no matter where the plan is across the country as well. So it doesn't matter what 529 plan we're putting money into, we get the deduction on Pennsylvania. Certain other states, New York, I think you have to put it in a New York plan. Virginia, I think you have to put it in the Virginia plan to get a deduction on your tax return. But a lot of states don't offer a deduction at all. But again, Pennsylvania offers the deduction based on those limits I said earlier, no matter what plan you put it into across the country. All right. So everybody who has education as one of their goals or funding education, we know a lot about Saving for College now and 529s. And again, check out that website, savingforcollege.com. I discovered that, I think, 18 years ago. So it's a great website. Let me talk for a minute about homeownership. So homeownership, you first of all, you want to be smart about when you're looking to buy. Quite often I'll tell people buy less than you can afford. People just don't realize all the other costs. So someone might pre-approve you for X amount of loan, but they didn't factor in that you also have a cell phone you have to pay for, a car you have to pay for, utilities that you're going to have to pay for, the new furniture you're going to have to put in the house, all these extra costs. So, you know, try to go for less than you can afford. Where's the location? What are the housing values? Is there going to be appreciation? So part of your goal shouldn't just be, you know, can I buy a house? It should be more about long term. What are all the other considerations? What shape is the roof in? Is it a septic tank or am I going to have to replace that? Is there going to be, you know, public hookup and all different kinds of things? So you want to pay attention to that. What's the cost? What kind of maintenance are you going to have? So let's talk about the financing options. There has been some changes in the tax reform, so people have to be aware that in the old days, we kind of always factored in, how much is this really going to cost us? Well, if I'm in the 25% tax bracket and the interest rate is 4%, it's really only costing me 3% after I get my tax deduction. Well, it might not be as easy as that anymore. You may end up not getting a tax deduction depending on what other itemized deductions you have. So you kind of got to make sure that it's going to work for you despite the tax impact of having a mortgage, because you may or may not get a benefit from it. In the old days, you could deduct mortgage insurance on debt up to $1 million. With new debt, they have moved that down to $750,000. And in addition, there are some other limitations on things like home equity and lines of credit. So you want to be careful before you start borrowing, thinking you're going to get a deduction for that as well, because you might not. So let's talk about mortgages. When you're looking at getting a mortgage, you want to, of course, shop around a little bit for rates. But way before that, remember, we're talking about goals. And if we're proactive and we're looking into the future, way before we're looking at a house, when you're just getting out of college, saving, establishing credit, getting a good credit score. Having a good credit score makes a big difference on the rate that you will be offered on your loan. So you want to think about what you're doing. Don't run up credit card debt. Don't run up debt in general. Buy those used cars, pay for them. Try not to run up debt if you know that you're going to have this goal in your future and you want to be able to afford, you know, a home. So credit score comes into play. Your other debt comes into play and your current cash flow comes into play and your current assets. So you want to start working on those things. One of the first things any financial advisor will tell you to do is to have an emergency reserve. So if you don't have an emergency reserve before you're thinking about buying a house, take 6 months, 8 months to try to build up that emergency reserve. If you have built up that emergency reserve then and you've gotten into a very good habit of saving that much each month, so let's pretend your emergency reserve is, I don't know, let's say $12,000, 6 months worth of expenses, $2,000 a month times 6 months is $12,000. So you start saving $2,000 a month. Then you know that at month seven, you have built up your, what did I say, two times six, $12,000. You know that you were able to have $2,000 a month in cash flow, free cash flow. So maybe it looks pretty good that you'd be able to afford that house payment or whatever it might be. So you want to start spending and acting like you have these expenses already. So that's kind of, you know, what I've told people in the past. Maybe they have rented and they say, you know, I think it might be better if I buy a house. I said, what kind of house are you looking at? Well, house that costs $350,000. Well, that's a very different monthly payment than renting at $1,000 a month. So, okay, if you think you can afford that and you think you can do that, then live like that for 6 months. And if you can live like that for 6 months, meaning putting that money out toward a mortgage and the utilities and the maintenance costs, you're banking all that money for 6 months, then maybe you could do it. All right. But in the meantime, then after 6 months, you have an emergency reserve set up. So again, emergency reserve is probably the number one thing you need to do before you plan all these other big events. So make sure you have 6 months worth of pay. Folks, we are in the last quarter of the show. This has gone much faster than I had anticipated, so I hope I can get through some of these other things, but still plenty of time for questions. The phone number is 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and you receive a tax deduction. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love on WDIY. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. Phone number is 610-758-8810, and the website yourfinancialchoices.com is also available for questions. Real quick, I went on bankrate.com to check out mortgage rates. And this is something to keep in mind as well when you're setting these goals and knowing, understanding the timeline, understanding how you're going to finance these goals, understanding what it might cost you to finance these goals. Interesting. I mean, and this is pretty much general knowledge for homeowners, but for people who are not homeowners currently and want a home, this is for you. For example, a 30-year mortgage, which is what a lot of people generally think, you know, is the going thing. Let's get a 30-year mortgage. So with 20% down, and a lot of folks don't have 20% down these days. Sometimes they can put 5% down or 10% down. A lot of people don't think about 20% down. So that is a big saving in itself. So 20% down, 30-year loan with a credit score of 740 plus has a rate of about 4.2 to 4.25% on bankrate.com. So that was just kind of some average rates. Whereas a 20-year term, so not 30 years, 20-year term, which means you're going to have a little bit of a bigger payment, the rate was 3.625% to 3.74%. So if you factor in that it's a lower interest rate over a shorter period of time, it's going to cost you a lot less money over that time period. So whether or not you're disciplined enough to afford that higher payment each month, you could benefit from a lower interest rate. So again, 20% down, good credit score, lots of things that lead up to that. Saving extra leads up to having a good down payment, and having a good credit score helps that rate of return as well. I mentioned that with the Tax Cuts and Job Act, there were some changes for tax reform, so you can't always count on that deduction. Some people might need for one of these big events, whether it's a wedding, a car, college, they might have their homes paid off, so they'll think, oh, I'm going to go get a home equity loan, or I'm going to get a line of credit and use that, and I'll get a deduction on my tax return. Well, the IRS, they kind of wiped out that deduction, home equity and lines of credit. That is no longer a deduction on your Schedule A itemized deduction. And when you first hear that, you say, what? Oh my gosh, it's gone, it's gone. Well, not exactly. And the IRS actually had to come out and provide some extra clarification on this. It's not exactly not deductible. It's only deductible for home acquisition debt or improvements. So if your dream was to add a kitchen to the house, and you therefore that's your goal, and one of the ways you want to pay for that is to finance it through a home equity loan, then that would be considered acquisition indebtedness because you're improving your home. And that would be deductible if you itemize. Now, there's limits on that's back to that $750,000 kind of acquisition debt limit that you have to watch out for. So it's kind of all in the language. They further have clarified that, you know, even people with mortgages sometimes aren't using it all for home acquisition or indebtedness. They might have refied and taken some of the money out. Well, if you're ever audited, the IRS might come out and say, what did you use that money for? Because if you used it to buy your car or pay for the college cost, that is not home acquisition. So that's moving forward. So you've got to be kind of careful and track what you're using the money for if you are taking out a home equity loan or if you're refinancing. Track what you're using it for if you are someone who itemizes and needs to prove that it was for home acquisition indebtedness. Now, there was something else I was going to add about that. Oh, the difference between a home equity and a line of credit. So the home equity is typically a fixed rate. The line of credit is something that is adjustable because it's just available to you. It's not like a set loan. So you could take out a home equity, maybe $50,000 at 5% over X period of time. That's fixed. You know what you're paying. You know what the rate is. A line of credit, I might say I want a line of credit tied to my home, $50,000, and I could write a check off of that and spend it on anything I want to, paying off a credit card, buying a car, leasing a car, whatever. That rate is adjustable. So you have to be very, very careful when you're going to pay for some of these big life events with things that have adjustable rates. For example, such things as credit cards. Big, big taboo. You got to be very, very careful with credit cards. Credit cards have varying rates. You can have a credit card that might be 0% when you first get it. They might have used it to lure you to get a credit card or to transfer a balance to a new credit card. And that rate might not stay if you miss a payment, if you're off, and all of a sudden that zero rate that you had switches to, you know, 24% or 25% or whatever it might be. There also are things like for people, young college kids who might just be starting off, they might be attracted by a secured credit card where you're actually paying a balance. You're putting $200 on that credit card and then you use it. It's not quite a debit card, but kind of like a debit card, but it's a way for you to build up credit. But those have rates of interest apparently as well. So I don't know what happens with that. You want to be very, very careful about using things with variable rates, such as credit cards that have a changing rate or the home equity line of credit. Real quick, I wanted to make sure I threw in about these intrafamily loans. Many people don't think about that, but sometimes what happens, it's kind of an estate planning tool. It could be a estate planning tool. It could be a great way to help your kids while keeping them responsible. If you have means and let's pretend you've got, you know, you're worth $1 million and you never use any of the money. You're never digging into the principal or anything. And you have your adult child's very responsible, graduated from college, starting a family, wants to buy a new home. They go to the bank. They don't have really good credit at this point, maybe because they just haven't had the time to build it up. And they're just starting in their careers, so maybe they don't have a lot of assets. And the bank says, oh, yeah, we'll give you a 30-year loan at 5.5%. Well, hey, maybe you could give them the loan. You can have a mortgage with your children, and you could set up a very low interest rate. The Fed provides something called the applicable federal rate. And there, it could be for a short-term loan. Maybe your child just needs something for the short term. It could be an actual mortgage where you have a valid mortgage where you then get interest that you're reporting from your child. They make a payment to you every month. You set up an amortization schedule, mortgage schedule. They pay you every month. You're getting some interest. You report that on your tax return. They're paying you interest. It's a valid mortgage secured by their home. They would get a deduction. Instead of a 1098 form, which is where we report mortgage interest, instead you're reporting their information on your tax return as to whom you're receiving the interest. They report your information on their return as to who they're paying the mortgage interest to. And that's kind of a little bit of a win-win. You're maybe making more interest than you might have had in the bank if you wanted to be a little conservative with some of your money. And the kids are getting a break, not paying as much as they would to a bank. So intrafamily loans is a great way to do it. Just, you know, talk to your lawyer, set it up properly, make sure it's all valid. I have a number of clients doing that. So that's a great option for ways to pay for some of these big life events, etc. Someone called in and had an idea for a future show topic, the PA Able for people with disabilities, paable.gov. I did have a show on that in the past, and in fact, we had an attorney from Schaffstall Law Offices, and Sarah Andrew, I believe was her name, and we talked about the PA Able. And that show might be available on podcast on the WDIY.org website. You just go to local programming, find your financial choices, and you can scroll through. Might have been a couple years ago now that I'm thinking about it, but the PA Able is a way to put money set aside for people with disabilities to help with their cost of care when without hindering their availability of government benefits. And it's capped how much you can put to it, but I believe you can fund it with 529 monies if that child, you know, you might have had 529 money set aside and they ended up not using it. If they became disabled, you could move it over there. Or maybe your child who did go to college didn't use all their money and you have a disabled child, you could help fund that. So thank you for the idea, and I'll make sure to keep that in mind for future show ideas as well. I wanted to mention cars. You also, you know, think about when you're buying cars. There's auto loans. You know, I think they even go out to 6 years now. You want to think about that goal. If you want a car, does it make sense to buy new? Does it make sense to lease? Does it make sense to buy a used car? What kind of maintenance experience does this vehicle have? What's their reputation? You want to think through the eventual cost of these. So bottom line, in trying to summarize what we're talking about when we're planning for life's big events and how to plan and budget for them. Again, what are the big events? Don't talk in generic terms. Let's talk in detail terms. What kind of house? Where are we going to buy it? How long are we going to have a mortgage? What can we afford? What kind of car? College? What kind of college? Private school? Public school? In-state? Out-of-state? How many years do we have to save? Wedding, are we going to pay for the whole thing? Part of it. Vacations, once in a lifetime vacations, annual vacations once every 5 years. You can have your goals if you take the time to sit down, identify them, think them through, and be able to pay for them. How are you going to pay for them? Through accumulation, maybe through cash flow, maybe through borrowing. Be smart about what you're doing. Maybe you're going to inherit some money. That could be that future goal way out. I always tell people, don't count on inheritances. I don't think it's fair, and I don't think it's healthy to think about that. That is just a nice legacy that someone might leave you, and you can don't spend it before you have it. All right, so I hope this helped a little bit. Again, thinking about paying for life's events, the timeline, the amount, the interest rate, the cash flow. P.A. Abel, May 18th, 2017. Boy, that Lori is on top of it tonight. That show was May 18th, 2017. The P.A. Abel account, if you want more information on that, that was a valuable benefit.